Testing. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. If you can find our seats, that'd be great. And it's a blessing to see everyone enjoying each other's fellowship. And just want to welcome everyone here this morning here at Redeemed Community Church. It is an honor to have you here as our guest this morning. For the visitors, first time, welcome. I guess one thing last evening in our kind of our youth group thing, Brother Lee brought something up. If you look about, if you're in the real estate, he brought out the illustration. It's about location, location, location. But in our Christian life, it's about relation, relation, relation. And I understand we're from a lot of different areas, different locations in our across this world or across America, but we're here together this morning because of a relationship with God. Amen. So I just want to thank you for coming again. This time we'll turn it over to your praise team.
Welcome to stand and praise the Lord with us this morning if you want to. above us, God, and I thank you for that this morning. Please quiet our hearts and turn our eyes to you. Help us to lay everything at your feet, everything that happened this week, everything that maybe happened this morning or that we have on our hearts. Bring that all to your feet. Just be able to look at you, to know who you are, and to worship you, God, with all our hearts.
Thank you. That was fun, wasn't it? That is something special about gathering together with your siblings in Christ. It's so special. If you're wondering who taught them how to sing and play, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I wish it was me, but it wasn't me. And if you are wondering if they're single, the guy is single, the girl in the middle is single, but the tall girl, sorry, it's mine, okay? So are we good? Are we good? Okay, thank you. So I'm going to share with the kids today, small kids, and I see a lot of big kids today. You agree with me? Okay, I'm going to invite the small kids only. Well, big kids, you can come too. I'm going to ask you to sit. Let's see if kids come forward. Let's see if we can sit over here. I want you to be able to see the screen. Over there, a little bit. Can you see the screen from there, Denzel? How about you, my friend? Can you see it? Everybody can see the screens? You all can see the screen, right? Everybody. All right. This one is going to take a little bit longer than usual. Okay, so just bear with me. This lesson is a little longer. Can you all see the screen? Yes, yes, yes. You, big boy, can you see the screen? The one with glasses? He doesn't hear very well. Big boy, the one holding the other baby. You see the screen? No, okay. You're going to be fine. So, okay. I have a question for you. Have you heard the word? We have a big boy with red beard here. It's okay. Have you heard the word Halloween? Yeah. Okay. Is Halloween a good thing or bad thing? It's a bad thing. Why is it bad?
Because there's skeletons and there's ghosts and stuff.
Okay. What? That's true. Yeah? What were you going to say? Same thing. So, okay, we all agree that Halloween is not good. Big people, I mean kids. Bear with me. Big kids. Is Halloween bad?
Yeah.
Halloween is bad. You're right. That is so smart of you. So, well, you know, I thought today I'm going to teach about Halloween. But I'm like, I cannot teach about Halloween. That subject is not worthy of our time. Because that was not God's idea. However, how many of you have seen like a whole skeleton, you know, like of course fake, in the middle of this, not in the middle of the street, but in some houses, or like ghosts and stuff? Have you seen them? Have you all seen them? Right? Okay. Okay. So I want to tell you something about anatomy. You know what anatomy is? Anybody has an idea? So, okay, anatomy is the study of the, in this case, talking about the human body, is the study of the human body. It's incredible. It's amazing. I'm going to teach you some things today that you're going to be like, what? Say with me, what? One, two, three. That's how you're going to say. It's amazing because, you know, God created our bodies on you.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that?
Yeah.
You sure? Okay. Yes, in the Bible, little Henry, in Genesis it says that God created our bodies. So I'll tell you something about our bodies. We as humans put it into different systems so we can understand a little bit more our bodies, okay? And we have one that we call the skeletal system. You see this one over here? Okay, I'll tell you something about the skeletal system that is going to be like, wow. Bear with me. Look at that. So this is the skeletal system. So in other words, guys, if we were to take off out our skin, muscles, and all the organs that we have, we would look like that. That's very strange. That's very interesting. But you know what? God created us this way for a purpose. Our bones, right, these are the bones, have a reason to be like that because they give us a structure. If you noticed, if you pay attention, this looks like a person, but you don't see the skin, you don't see the eyes, right? But you see the shape. Is the shape of a woman standing this way? You see it? Okay, I'll tell you this. Can you guess, big kids and small kids, do you know how many bones the human body have? An adult body, how many? 206. Smarty pants, okay. How about a kid? How about a newborn baby? Michael, you did your homework. I love that. 300. Why, Michael?
They're not fused together yet.
So they fuse together at the end.
Yes.
Why?
To make it stronger.
Okay, that's a good point. But do you know why we have 300 when we are born?
So we can fall.
So we can fall and not hurt ourselves. I forget.
So you can grow?
So you can grow. God thought about that. Hey, kids, listen. God thought about that. He made us with 300 bones. So that means that this beautiful girl, Lucy, you have 300 bones in that beautiful body of yours. I know. Sometimes I see myself in the mirror and I get scared of myself. So I don't blame you. I don't blame you, Lucy. Sorry about that. I'm sorry. So 300 bones because as a kid, you know, you're growing. And when you become an adult, those bones fuse with one another. That's incredible. Come on. That is incredible. God designed us that way. Okay? Now, only in your head, in your skull, you have around 20 bones. As a kid, you have, they are all disconnected, right? Because you're growing. But as an adult, it's just one big bone with different parts. Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful. Okay. Now, let me show you. This is just the skeletal system. I'm going to show you this one. Muscles. Our muscles. You see the same shape? Okay. Those muscles are covering the bones. And the bones can move, right? Can you do this? Okay, they move because of the muscles and tendons and joints that we have in different places, so we can move and we can control them, right? Who can do like this? Yeah, you can control them, right? So, okay, and we have different types of muscles. Some muscles we can control, like this one. Can you do this? But can you control your heart? You can't. It's a different kind of muscle, but it's also a muscle that is just working by itself. Boom, 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 boom. Right? Okay. How many muscles do you think we have? How many muscles do you think we have? Do you remember? No? Do you know? Anybody? Can you give me a number? Give me something. 500. Close. Not that much. Less. In between. 700. Guys, 700 muscles. Each one of them has a specific purpose in your body to function. Do you think that's amazing? That is incredible.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. Amen. And I'll tell you this. This is a good part. Everybody, I want to see everybody, kids, big kids, small kids. Do your hand like this. Everybody, hand here. Okay, now we're going to do this. Open, close. Open, close. Okay. By doing this movement, you're using around 30 muscles. How many of you think of that when you're doing that? Nobody. It's incredible. So next time you do a fist, you know, pump with somebody, you can say 30 muscles, you know, like if you want. Okay. Now, the reason why I decided to share with all of you kids, small and big kids, is because when you see those things in the street, so this is what's happening. You know who the enemy of God is? Satan, the devil, he's not a good guy, but he is very smart. And this is what he's doing. He put that idea of Halloween into our society. You know what society means? Into the city, you know, into the people that are around here. So he put that idea that Halloween was a good celebration, but it's not. It's not. Okay? Because that actually, what that means is they are worshiping the devil. And that is not good. That does not please the heart of God. Who's the one, the only one that deserves glory and honor from us?
Jesus.
God. Just God and Jesus, because he is God. You're right. So the reason why I tell you this is because long time ago, there was a man called Hosea. He was a prophet. You know what a prophet is? Yes, somebody that tells people about the Bible. That's a good point. Yeah, it's somebody that gives a message from God to the people. So this man says something very important. Check this out. I want to read it to you. He said this. My people, talking about God, God's people, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. So it is very important for us as kids of God to have knowledge about what's good and bad. Okay? So Halloween is bad. We know that. Okay? And we need to be careful with that because the world is trying to make Halloween cute. How many of you have seen that cute ghost in a bottle of something? How many of you have seen a cute demon? There is not such a thing. There is not such a thing as a cute demon. Parents, brothers, sisters, kids, we need to be careful with that. That is why we do not celebrate Halloween. Because it does not honor Jesus. And we want to give our hearts to Jesus. Do you want to say something? No? Does that make sense? Now, brothers, sisters, this is a real thing. I mean, people that worship Satan during this time, it's a big celebration for them. They're sacrificing people. This is not a joke. There is a war. And if we're not prepared for this war, do you know who's the first people that the devil wants to take from us? Yeah, them. So today, I want to ask everybody, stand up with me. And you're welcome to come. And we need to pray. We need to pray and cry to our God to protect our kids. Because they belong to Him. And we need to be in that war too. We cannot give up and say, oh yeah, that does. They see it. They see it in the streets. It's a real thing. Kids, we love you so much. We love you so, so much. And that's why we're teaching you this today. We don't want you to learn it outside in the streets. We want you to learn it here. It is bad. Halloween is bad. We worship Jesus, the real God, the King of Kings. Does that make sense? Okay, let's pray. Please stand up with me and pray for our kids. You're welcome to come and just bless them. Father, we thank you for the kids that you have given to us. Jesus, thank you for the miracle of life. You represent life and light. And we do not relate with darkness and death. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we pray for our kids and for your protection. Please protect each one of these kids from the enemy. These kids belong to you, Lord. You created them for a purpose, to worship you and to honor you because you deserve it, because you are King. Help us teach them the way. Give us wisdom and understanding as parents, as adults in this church, to lead them, to bless them, to protect them. Holy Spirit, please be with each one of them and protect them from the attacks of the enemy. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us this knowledge so we can share it And that way, we won't be destroyed by the enemy. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you all. You may go back to your parents. It's important to remember that. Let's not forget that this is a real thing, brothers and sisters. Let's keep praying for our kids. Amen. God is worthy. Love you, church. It's really fun to see a lot of visitors today. I hope to talk to each one of you at the end. So we'll see. Love you guys.
Thanks, brother, for that. Very good lesson for all of us kids, right? Kids in Christ. I was reading it as our program, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And I was thinking about that, and it's like, for me, myself, I'm like, you know, sometimes we can obey, but it's hard to, sometimes difficult to trust. And so it just kind of hit me. It's like, oh, that's kind of an interesting thought that just came to me, is to be able to not only obey in God's commands, but to be able to trust Him in all of those things. Again, thanks for coming. Good to have you guys here with us this morning. Just a few announcements here. We do have a lunch following the service, so please feel free to hang around. We'd love to have you here in time of fellowship and everything. Just for your locals here, ladies, we have a Bible book study. Daughters of Grace is coming Wednesday night at 6:30 here at the church. And as usual, we have a 7 o'clock prayer on a Saturday mornings. It's open to all. At this time I'll just turn over the time order, Brother Phil here.
Amen. That was a fantastic adult teaching to the children. Well said, brother. This morning we're blessed to have the Yoder family, extended family with us. Thank you all for coming, and friends, and blessing us. Brother Lee, thank you. Lee has, as many of you know, been a close friend of mine for about 4 years or so, been a spiritual mentor to me, and a rich blessing. And today we have the blessing of having his brother Paul here with us. This weekend he came out to see his brother. He's from Hutchinson, Kansas. Brother Paul served in Belgium for, was it 15 years or so? 15, 18 years, so a long time. And I asked him if he would come and just share whatever the Lord has put on his heart. Testimony, a word from the Lord. So he's going to be sharing with us at this time. Brother Paul, would you come? And we're going to wire you up, Paul, with this mic.
It's safe.
It's safe.
One, two, three. Am I on? Okay.
All right. Let me just pray with you, brother.
Okay.
Our Heavenly Father, let's all pray together. We thank you for our dear brother. I want to bless you, Lord Jesus, for his willingness to come and share from your word in his own life experience to your people. Lord, I want to thank you this morning for veterans in your kingdom. You know we young men need veterans, men who have fought the battle, the good fight of faith, and who've won many victories in Jesus' name and by the power of your Holy Spirit. You have preserved for this day, for us, to follow them as they follow Christ. So I pray that you would anoint my brother and bless him as he shares your heart with us, your living word, and your testimony through his life. In Jesus' name, amen.
I won't try to keep up with our kids' teacher. So it's a special occasion this morning, and my cup is just running over. My eyes almost are too. A coming together of family and of friends I haven't seen for a long, long time. And most of all, it's just simply the privilege of being a part of God's family, of God's church. We know that sometime we're looking forward to the time when our Lord Jesus is coming in the clouds and his church is going to be joined to him. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know how openly I can speak here. I think I can speak pretty openly. So when we have a Yoder family reunion, we're pretty good discussers, or in other words, arguers. And we don't do as much as we used to. But we tell each other, you know, we're part of the same church. And we're going to be a part of the same family. But a lot of us wouldn't make it in the same church here on earth. Isn't that terrible? But no, so I think we could, but it's with our background, with our experiences, God leads in different ways. But one thing I had to think of in the brother was teaching us, I think it could help us, the name Halloween. So the part, first part of that word, what makes you think of it? What hallow? Yeah, hallowed be thy name. So hallow has something to do with holy, right? What about ween? Could we imagine something there? Hallowed Eve. So in Belgium, where we lived for a number of years, and I want to be careful here, I'm not throwing sticks at any church, but it is a 95% chance, 95% Catholic population. A lot of them are, most of them by far are not Catholic, not practicing Catholics. So in the fall, there is a great big celebration called Holy Eve. And the graves are decorated with mums. Just the cemeteries, the family members come. And it's a celebration of the dead. So it's really not hard to understand where Halloween came from. And now they're embracing Halloween with the influence, I think, from here. So it just, you know, it's good to notice and to pay attention what is behind and how Satan does operate his kingdom. But we're just so thankful that we are a part of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus. Amen. And so Brother Phil had said something for me to share in a message. And then because of some circumstances at home, our son-in-law had a stroke too, not as hard as my brother Lee's, but it just occupied my mind enough, and I'm getting old enough that I had a hard time getting my mind together. And so I will share a few things, what the Lord was bringing to me, but it's a little scattered. But I just want to say, I praise the Lord for his goodness, and when I think of my brother Lee, And the encouragement he's been to me has just been wonderful. We come from a family of eight. And we have three of us are still living. It's Lee, and then my brother Al in Phoenix, and then I am the youngest. He was my hero. He was the strong one. Guess what I was? As the young one, spoiled for sure. But anyway, God's grace is sufficient, and he's been a challenge to me through the years. And when I see how the grace of God completely changed his life, I just marvel all the time. So this is a special time to be here. And I just pray with me that I can share what's on my heart. And I know just in a way that is God-honoring and led by God. But I, with you, am so glad to be a part of God's family and of God's kingdom. And that thing of being a part of God's kingdom has grown on me the last number of years. Man, I don't think anyone argues the point. Politically speaking, there's been a lot of noise the last years. It has grown. And so I'm not here to advocate any. I just want you to know. I'm not getting into that. But we just know there's been a lot of noise. And I think it is very, very important that we, as followers of Jesus, unashamedly identify with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. So, how do you feel? Are you first an American and then a Christian? Or are you first a Christian, then an American? Amen. Mostly what? Hey, thank you, brother. We've got Ukraine. We've got Belgium. We've got South Africa.
Mexico.
Mexico, way to go. But we get together, and we don't say, excuse me?
She's from Norway.
Oh, my goodness. Very good. Anyone else?
Guatemala.
Oh, my. This is wonderful. You know, but I don't hear anyone standing up here and says, my country is the best. Any of the countries represented, is any of the countries represented here going to last, going to stand, going to reign forever? No. Let's remember that. The United States of America, we're thankful to live here. Given us a lot of freedoms, but it will go down just like any other kingdom.
Yes.
Like the kingdom of Rome did, the kingdom of the great British Empire on which the sun didn't set. These are human kingdoms. But and that is what I just like to encourage. That is what's been such an encouragement for me. The kingdom of God, Paul said, is not what we eat, it's not what we drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say about his kingdom? Somebody want to volunteer? It's not of this world. What does that mean? It's not of this world. And I think we all know this, that when the Lord Jesus came on earth, at that time the Jewish people were expecting deliverance from these Romans, right? And so they were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for the anointed one. And they said, well, maybe this is the one. And when Jesus came No, of course he wasn't the one. Couldn't be. Came from Nazareth. No good thing came out of Nazareth. Bethlehem. Well, he wasn't there by the time they started looking. But the wise men from the east came. They said, yeah, he's supposed to come from Bethlehem. Herod got upset. But what I wanted to say is that he didn't come the way the people expected him to come. Can someone tell me what were they? What we weren't there, but what do you think they were expecting?
They were
expecting an angel. Yes. And so instead, they had this plain man from Nazareth, a carpenter, walking through the countryside, calling some fishermen, calling a zealot, which was a fighter against the Roman government, calling a publican, which was one of their own, who collected their money to give to the Romans. How can he be trusted? And Jesus brought those people together to build his kingdom, to build his church. And then, so they said, no, this can't be delivered. No, he's not for real. The strange thing, he did miraculous things. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. And he preached in a way that had authority. So, how did he preach? What are some of the things he said that were different from what they were used to hearing? Someone want to? I appreciate the openness which I.
Repent.
He said, repent. Right. Did he have authority to do that? He did. He had authority.
The kingdom of God is at hand.
The kingdom of God is at hand. Well, where is the kingdom? What else?
He that believes on me shall never die.
Isn't that authoritative? Think of that. This plain man.
I am the way, the truth, the life.
No man comes to the Father except through me. Wonderful. That's right. Oh my goodness. But that doesn't apply today. Or does it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, we know that at the time, in the time of Israel, of course, it applied. Right? God told the children of Israel to go out and destroy the people. We won't get into that either. But that's what I wanted to say. He established a kingdom that turned the world upside down.
Right side up.
Okay. I love that. Yes, that's the truth. But in the eyes of the people,
yes,
he was setting up a kingdom that was turning the world upside down. Remember in Acts, I forget where it was. Was it Ephesus? He said, the people that turned the world upside down are here as well. Because if we look at the Sermon on the Mount, everything that is in the Sermon on the Mount is completely against human philosophy. And I like to see, I think we agree, it's the constitution of the kingdom of Christ. And from there, the New Testament writers explain what that means to live. And so that's the main encouragement I want to leave today. Another thing I would like to leave with you is to talk about, and this comes from a book I read, Discipleship, I forget the name of it. It's about discipleship. I don't know if I'm going to get into this by asking a question or not, but I think I will. What is the gospel? Excuse me?
Good news. Of the kingdom of heaven.
There you go. It's good news of the kingdom of heaven. So if, you know, I know when I started reading that book, I said, yeah, if someone asked me, what is the gospel? Good news, but the good news about what? If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark 1. Verse 14. Now after Jesus was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel, the good news about what? Of the kingdom of God. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is coming in the future. No, he didn't. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. And then in Mark 8, I'd like to read a few verses there. In verse 31, after he had talked to Peter and he said, asked the disciples who they say he is, and breaking in at verse 31, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him when he had turned around and looked at his disciples. He rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. The main thing I want to point out there is the Son of Man, talk about himself, must be killed, and he will rise again. And so we have here, the gospel of the kingdom is, it's here. Repent and believe this good news, and then follow me. I don't know, I think we can say this, that one of the needs we see today is a lack of saying, follow me. You know, Jesus said, Except you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, we can't be born ourselves. It has to be a work of the Spirit. And that's where it begins. But that must be coupled with our surrender to the will of our Father. It's not I who live, it's He who lives. None of us do it perfectly. I don't do it perfectly. But that's our desire. If we really want to follow the Lord Jesus, that's our desire. We want to be yielded to our Lord Jesus. Like Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live, but not I. But Christ lives in me. That's the challenge. And I think, and as we think of it, so as we think of the kingdom of God, am I saying correctly? The kingdom of God is wherever King Jesus is ruling. Is that right? So he rules in my heart. He rules in Brother Phil's heart and Brother Lee's heart and all of you rest. Lives in our hearts. And when we enter into a dark place, kingdom of God comes in. Isn't that neat? And I think I can say this. We all know this. Lasting change will not come through political means. We know that, right? I'm not saying there's no advantage. I don't know. But lasting change, heart change, and the big mistake of the Christian church was when the Roman emperor became converted, gave the Christians freedom, and then they applauded him, and gradually the persecuted church became a persecuting church. Isn't that amazing? But that's the way we tend to become. We want power. And our Lord Jesus, he came and he talked about things. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. Yeast? You don't see it working. It didn't make any sense to the people, I'm sure. But we have it to our advantage. What is going to bring lasting change? I believe if we carry Jesus in our hearts and we let him rule our hearts, guide our hearts, bring other people around us, just like you are here, where we can grow, where we can be edified, where we can be challenged as we look for the day when our Lord Jesus is coming back. Shall we pray? Our Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this little gathering of people. People who love you. People who are called by your name, and people from different nationalities. But you have said there's just one kingdom. So we're strangers here. We're passing through, but we know where we're going. We have a goal, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we want to be faithful to you. Oh, how we want to be faithful. And Lord, bless each one here with your presence and blessing. Bless each soul that is here today, and may you encourage their hearts. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. There's a word in Psalm. Find it here real quick. That the Lord has put on my heart as a word of reverence. And I've seen him be faithful in this. In Brother Lee's life, Brother Adolph's life, and now in your life, and in many other veterans of the kingdom of God, men and women. He says this in Psalm 92, verse 8, "But thou, O Lord, art on high forever. For behold thine enemies, O Lord, for behold thine enemies will perish. All who do iniquity will be scattered. But thou hast exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil, and my eye has looked exultantly upon my foes. My ears hear of the evildoers who rise up against me." This is what happens when we get old. Does it? How many of you know old people like that? They rise up victorious like a wild ox over their enemies, their spiritual enemies. This is why they do that. There's only a few, I believe, in the world. The few who walk the narrow road. Many are walking their own way. Even professing Christians, but there are a few. Few there be that find this. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. Where will he flourish? Where do you see him flourish? He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. That's where he flourishes. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in an old age. Yeah, I'm calling you old because it's an honor. They will be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Thank you. Dear brothers and sisters, dear young people, the devil is walking around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And do you know where he devours them? Outside, isolated from God's people, alone. When a lion comes to attack a herd, a buffalo, have you ever seen that little meme in Africa? Where does he go? Right into the middle of the herd? He circles, and then the herd kind of begins to move, and he looks for the one who strays from the herd. That's his dinner. The devil today has a strong agenda, that of a hungry lion, to keep God's people isolated from each other, to divide and conquer through ideology, theology, philosophy, lifestyle, personal convictions, you name it. He'll use everything that you give him to devour you by isolating you from his people. Beware, child of God. Beware. One of the greatest ways the devil uses that I've seen, the most effective way, is through personal failure in the church. We get disappointed with each other because we're not perfect. And we're looking for perfect preachers, and we're looking for perfect veterans, and we're looking for perfect wife and a perfect husband, and we're looking for, and we're disappointed. But Jesus said a wonderful word that Peter declared in 1 Peter chapter 2. He is the perfect one. And he said, he that believeth on me, he that believeth on me shall never stumble. But if you believe in anyone else, you'll fall and stumble. Maybe that's our problem. We're looking to put trust in each other instead of the only one worthy of our trust, our whole heart of trust and faith. I just want to continue reading where you left off, brother, to bring us into the closure of Jesus' words when he said, follow me, and the difference of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world that Jesus brought to them. Verse 34 of Mark 8, and he summoned the multitude with the disciples, and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me. How many want to follow Jesus? Okay, good. You just volunteered for this one. Let him deny himself. Any volunteers? Maybe. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross. Any volunteers to hang on a piece of wood and be called a sinner? He died as a criminal, not a righteous man. They viewed him as a criminal, Isaiah 53 says. And follow me. I'm the door. Here's how you follow me. There are a lot of volunteers in our culture to follow Jesus. But there are volunteers who don't see the cross. Because many, many Christians today, the church as a whole is proclaiming a gospel, a Jesus who has no cross of self-denial. It's for real. You've actually got to do it. To deny yourself. Yeah. To deny yourself of your fleshly pleasures, desires, honor, seeking your own honor, your own glory, your own whatever. To deny yourself. Have you done that lately? He says to do it every day, Jesus said. You want to follow me? There's one way. You must start with denying yourself. That's where it starts. But it doesn't end there. We don't live a Christian life of self-denial. We live a Christian life that's following Jesus. There's a point to this self-denial. It's the entrance into the life of Jesus. And take up his cross and follow me. And that cross leads to the resurrection. When you actually deny yourself and you die to those sinful pleasures, the world says, you can have and have Jesus. You can have that and have Jesus too. Just add Jesus to your life. He'll make everything better. He'll forgive all your sins that you ever committed. And he'll forgive all your sins you're going to commit today. They're already forgiven. And the moment you die, he's just going to take you home to heaven forever with him. Just come and say a prayer. Would you like to do that? Just come and do you believe in Jesus? That he loves you? That he wants to forgive all your sins? Quickly say a prayer with me. You're saved. You're saved forever. Hallelujah. Just believe it. And you go home believing it. And the next day, sin comes crouching at the door like it did to Cain. And you want to get angry with your wife, or your husband, with your son or your daughter, your co-worker, your boss. How about that driver that just cut you off? Are you okay with that driver? What does your family hear? What do you say under your breath? Bless you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Be my guest. That's what they teach you when you go to take your license test. I was reminded of that when I went for my CDL, my commercial driver's license here some years ago. They teach especially semi-drivers to have that attitude about anyone who cuts them off. Because everybody wants to call off a semi-driver. Who wants to drive behind an oversized load semi going 35 when you should be going 55? Any volunteers? No, get around him as fast as you can. Get out in front of him now. Go! And then you hit the brake because someone else hit the brake and the semi-driver's like, Jake in the brake. And do you know how close I almost hit you? I feel like hitting you. No. Be my guest. Take up your cross. Deny those feelings. Die to that attitude. And bless. And follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. You will. You seeking to save anything in your life? You will lose it. You want to flourish in the courts of your God at your old age? This is the way. But whoever loses his life, his will, your own will, you lose that for Christ. For my sake and the gospel. Shall save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words. In this adulterous and sinful generation, will lose his soul. The Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Will you be ashamed of that day? You will if you are now. Don't fool yourself. If you're ashamed of his words now, you will be ashamed at that day. But worse than that, he'll be ashamed of you. There's no more terrible feeling on earth, I don't think, than having your dad be ashamed of you. Is there? You ever felt that? And remember how that felt? When you knew he was ashamed of you. You just knew. It's a terrible feeling. It will be a terrible day. No matter what prayers you prayed, no matter how much you sang at church, unless you took up your cross and followed him, denied your will every day, and were not ashamed of him and his kingdom, but professed it boldly, like you did, Brother Paul. Thank you. In your old age, to a whole bunch of strangers, to a church that's not similar to yours, you did. And that is the gospel in us. That this world, our neighborhood, our community, our nation, our world needs to hear from me and you every day. That's the gospel of life and words. Life and words. Life and words. And then every dad in this room, every mama in this room can say to their children, follow me as I follow Christ. For real. Be like me. Every pastor, every boss, every person of influence can say to their neighbor, their co-worker, come follow me as I follow Christ. Let's deny ourselves together. Let's do this together. Let's take up our cross. All that would be, it would change the church in our nation and in our world. It is changing the church. Would you like to join it? Because there are those of us who are doing that. You can join it today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow to take up your cross. Jesus is offering it today to every one of us. Come, follow me. Will you? It starts right in here. This afternoon. Tonight. Starts fresh every morning. And yes, he does forgive all of our sins. And yes, he has an inheritance, a home awaiting for us. But this is the way home. Child of God, this is the way home. I'll just give you a little of my ponderings. Since you went there and opened the door, I'll go through it. It has been very interesting to me. I love church history. I enjoy reading it. I also enjoy Bible prophecy. In the context of church history, big difference. There are a lot of false prophets out there in the world. John said so, not me. Who are antichrists in the church. False prophets in the church. And I remember as a child growing up in the church, they made many prophecies of why Jesus is going to come in 1998. You all remember that one? 88. One of those. It was 88. And then it was 2000. That was definitely the year of the millennium. Jesus is coming back. This is it. All the world will go dark and the computers are going to go out and the Russians are going to attack us and we're not even going to know they're coming. And it was crazy. I remember as a young married couple, we took a video camera, one of those big old video cameras, and we wanted to see the lights go out. So Katie had a brother who lived up in the mountains overlooking Fort Collins. And we took that camcorder and we were right up there at midnight. We wanted it on camera to see all the lights go out. Let's see if it happens. And the minute the clock ticked down, ticked down, ticked down, lights stayed on. Huh. What happened? Oh, we figured out the algorithm was not quite what we thought. It worked okay after all. Thousands and thousands of people had stored basements full of food and water, and it was amazing. Are you listening to those false prophets? Are they affecting your life now? Or has that all blown over and you said, oh, probably another 1,000 years, you know? Like Peter says, 1,000 years is one day to the Lord. One day is 1,000 years. Who knows anyway? Let's just go on and live merrily, happily after. Let's enjoy this life. But I want to share this with you. This is just a viewpoint that Revelation talks a lot of. In the end times, three things will come together to rule the world. Three things. Money. Can you guess what the next three things are? Three things. Money. It's called Babylon in Revelation. Someone know what I'm talking about? Any volunteers? No? Money, politics, and can you guess what the third one is? The church. Babylon. Study it. We're seeing all three come together across the world. Money is more fluent than ever before. The billionaires are coming into politics. And the church is at the heart of it. The worst thing about it is the church is congratulating herself for being there at the heart of it. Beware. That will be the fulfillment of the last age, according to Revelation. That's my 10 cents on the door you opened. But it's an awareness that we as God's people must be aware of. Wherever you are in that spectrum, no condemnation from this man because I know very little. I'm just saying beware. That's what I read in Revelation. And that will be the Antichrist who fights against the Jesus, the kingdom of heaven, when he comes, because he won't be coming like you think he will. Just like he didn't come the first time. And many religious people won't be aware. Jesus said so. When he comes, they'll be caught off guard. Let's not be those. Dave, you want to close?
Thanks to everyone who was willing to share this morning. Praise team, children's lesson, Brother Paul, Phil. I just feel like I just walked out of a spiritual Texas Roadhouse. Like I just ate a 30-ounce steak. So I guess for me, my takeaway is that I've gathered repeatedly is repent, believe, trust, and obey. Amen. And so it's just, it is an honor and a privilege just to hear. I didn't realize that many, the nationalities here this morning. So that's just amazing how God's people get together to honor and glorify him. Thanks again for coming. Please do hang around for lunch. Soon the doors will be open here just shortly. So why don't we just bow our head for a word of prayer, and we'll ask the blessing on the new meal as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your goodness to us. Lord, it's because of you that we're gathered in this way. Lord, we're from multiple different countries and nationalities. But Lord, but it's all because of you that we're here in this way this morning. We just thank you and praise you for your love and your goodness to us, for your mercy and grace. Thank you also for the physical food that's been prepared. I just pray you bless the hands that have prepared it and those who are willing to serve. Thank you again for your many blessings. Bless this food to our body. Bless our afternoon together and our fellowship. We just, again, want to honor and glorify you in everything that we do. Amen. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming.